Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I shared with the children this morning, there's a part of our human nature that always enjoys seeing the bad guy get his just desserts. That's the way the story is supposed to end. But not every story ends that way. After the initial release of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, many people were upset because the bad guy, Mr. Potter, didn't get what he deserved. In a more recent movie, The Princess Bride, the young boy gets upset with his grandfather when he finds out that the bad guy, Prince Humperdinck, doesn't get his just desserts. What is it that creates the desire for vengeance? In The Princess Bride, the young boy was upset because he didn't think it was fair that the bad guy should get away unpunished. Our conscience tells us that bad behavior is punished and good behavior is rewarded. But as the grandfather told his grandson, life isn't fair. We hear that echoed in Scripture. We hear the lament, "How long, O Lord, will the wicked prosper?" Maybe it's a desire for closure. The fate of Mr. Potter was left unresolved. The savings and loan was saved. Clarence got his wings. But the cloud that hung over that happy ending was not knowing what happened to Mr. Potter. Maybe it finally just comes down to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a tooth for a tooth. If someone hits me, I'm going to hit him back. That's the way it's supposed to work, at least in the sinful mind. If you can't count on life being fair, then what can you count on? Jeremiah was the prophet of God in the days leading up to and during the Babylonian conquest of Judah and the deportations of her people that followed. His was an unpopular message. The people didn't want to hear it. They were offended by it. The easy out for Jeremiah would have been to just keep silent. Just don't speak. But he couldn't do that. The word of God that was given to him burned within him. He couldn't contain it. He had to speak. And so the only way to silence the message was to destroy the messenger. Jeremiah recognized that when he says, "I did not know it was against me that he devised scheme, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." Jeremiah then goes on to give voice to his desire for vengeance. "But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause." Jeremiah is looking for vindication. He's looking for God to act on his behalf because it was God who put him in this situation in the first place. In his cry, Jeremiah implies that he is on the side of right. He's on the side of good, and God should act accordingly. Those seeking Jeremiah's destruction should receive what they deserve. Through Jeremiah, God had spoken a word of judgment against those who had turned away from him and were chasing after other gods. God's judgment was coming both in this life through the armies and might of Babylon and eternally on the last day. In fact, the judgment that comes through Babylon points forward to the judgment on that last day, when all those who don't believe will be swept away into eternal torment. And that raises the question, why does God speak this warning? If he's going to execute justice, if he's going to carry out his vengeance, if it's already a done deal, then why not just turn them all to dust right now? Why wait? God is indeed a just and holy God. His justice will be done. But he also desires that all would be saved, that all of his lost sheep would be gathered in. So God speaks this warning through Jeremiah in the hope of turning Judah back to him. He speaks this warning because he loves his creation. He loves all human beings, and it would grieve him to lose even one. But he also speaks this word of warning to his people, to a sinful world, because those who rebel against him, those who have turned away and walk in the dark, aren't the true enemy. Take any issue today where lines have been drawn, where people stand on either side of that line and point fingers back and forth. Take any one of those issues and know that the folks on the other side of the line aren't the enemy. The real enemy is the father of lies. The real enemy is the devil, and his wage will be paid. The vengeance of God will indeed be clearly seen. In Jeremiah's day, he could point to the deportations and say, that's God's vengeance being carried out on those who would take my life. But the true vengeance of God, the true vengeance of God is clearly seen on the cross. The Son of God took on human flesh so that he could suffer and die in our place, so that he could suffer and die in the place of sinful man. In verse 17 of this same chapter, God told Jeremiah that he had decreed disaster against the house of Israel and the house of Judah because they had provoked his anger by making offerings to Baal. That's the same judgment God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. They provoked God's anger because they listened to the devil's lies. They turned from the one true God to follow their own path. The people of Israel and Judah inherited that sinful condition. They were living under the same curse. And if they and all the past and future generations were to be saved, then the promise God spoke to Adam and Eve would also have to be fulfilled. The seed of the woman would have to rise up and crush the devil. In our creed, we confess that the Son of God was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. God came to take on that curse, to suffer that condemnation that Adam and all of his descendants deserved and could not escape. Jesus became the gentle lamb led to slaughter. He was the perfect Lamb of God upon whom was laid the sin of the whole world. It was against him that the devil devised his schemes. The devil's instruments were the Pharisees, scribes, and teachers of the law. It was they who said, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. Caiaphas, the high priest, said, it is better for one man to die than the whole nation perish. They arrested him. They took him to Pilate and demanded that Jesus be put to death. Pilate gave in to their demands. Jesus was put to death, and he was buried. But there was so much more going on than they could see or know. What they were really proclaiming and demanding Jesus' life was the penalty they deserved as children of Adam. What they were really demanding was that the vengeance of God that burned against Adam's sin would fall on them. If God was going to be fair, if he was going to be just, if he was going to give them and us what we all deserve, then death is our just desert. But again, we aren't the true enemy. Jesus took our place and suffered the condemnation we deserved. He was cut off. He was forsaken. He was the one condemned. The wrath of God fell upon him so that we could be saved, so that we could be saved from God's vengeance and from the devil's claims. Jesus died to satisfy both the demands of God's law and to pay sin its wage. But he didn't remain in the grave. He rose from the dead. He was not cut off from the land of the living. The power of sin and death were overcome. Their claim on us was removed through the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus' blood was the ransom price that set us free. God's vengeance was made complete. Jesus' resurrection was the crushing blow that fulfilled the promise God spoke in Eden. The devil indeed bruised Jesus' heel. Jesus died in our place. But his resurrection was the blow that crushed the devil's head. His resurrection was the blow that destroyed the power of the true enemy of God. And that's the hope that we carry in this dark world. That's the light that we bear to those who still live in darkness, bound by the devil's chains. As blood-bought children of God, it is now our privilege to speak of the freedom that has come to us in Christ. We are to proclaim the victory that Jesus won over sin and death. We are to speak of Jesus who has rescued us and given us life. We are to speak of Jesus who still comes through his word to seek all of his lost sheep and bring them home. We are to speak as those who deserve to die, and yet we live. We are to speak as those who have received life today and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.